A reading from the book of Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "My servant Moses is dead. Now proceed across the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the Israelites. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea in the west, shall be your territory. No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God."
Good morning. And here we are, ready to begin a new church year. And even though it's very different, I'm very excited for this year, because Marble is a beacon of healing and hope in the world, and that's needed now more than ever. For many of us, we've probably never lived in a time when we faced such uncertainty about our future. In some sense, it feels like everything is up for grabs. Our jobs, our finances, our relationships, our society, even the world itself. The enormity of what we face in the future and the uncertainty makes us feel helpless. And when we begin to feel helpless, hopelessness is not far behind. And as we live with this uncertain future, there's something within us that wants to find the courage to face the future in a new way, to not avoid the challenges, but some way to rise to the challenges that are before us. But the question is, how can we do that? As we consider this, we hear that powerful verse this morning that Clay read, verse 9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And the question is, how do we make that a reality in our lives? And so for the next few weeks, we're going to be exploring how to find the courage to face the future. And today we begin with facing uncertainty, because uncertainty is at the root of our fear and anxiety about the future. Now, we need to know that we are people who crave certainty. We organize our lives to have certainty. And when our certainty is threatened, we struggle. And if we're honest, we are overwhelmed by uncertainty right now. We're overwhelmed by the uncertainty of the pandemic. We're overwhelmed by the uncertainty of our jobs. We're overwhelmed about the uncertainty of the economy. We're overwhelmed about the uncertainty of our children's education and whether or not we can survive having them at home. We are overwhelmed by uncertainty. And when that happens, it's easy to do things that create the illusion that we have certainty in life. Think about it. Sometimes we create routines that give us a sense of certainty, and we can even become rigid in them. We get up at the same time, we eat the same thing, we watch the same TV shows at the same time. We develop these routines. Now, you might think that not, doesn't apply to you, but think about a time that you came into church and you went to sit down, and then you looked and you discovered somebody sitting in your pew. and you're a little irked. That's all because we crave that routine and the certainty that it brings to our lives, but it's only the illusion of certainty. Others of us, we try to control everything and everyone as a way to have certainty. Now, we've all met people like that. None of us are like that. But sadly, as we try to gain that sense of certainty, we can come to the conclusion that, you know what? Things are not going to change. Therefore, I don't need to change. I can't change. And we just settle for what is. And we try to hold on to what is, or worse yet, we give up. And even though we try to tell ourselves that we're content with the status quo, that we're content with the way that things are, there is a certainty within us. And the certainty is this. It's this feeling that we were made for so much more. I don't say that as a faith thing or a Christian thing or a religious thing. It's a human thing. It's something within all of us. And when we try to settle for what is and shrink back from the challenges within us and around us, there's something within us that tells us we were made for more. And that happens at two levels. At the personal level, have you ever watched somebody who you knew was made for more, but just wasn't living into that? We experienced that with my son, Austin. Now, I have his permission to tell this. Now, he was never really a motivated student, and it really became evident in middle school. And no matter what we did to encourage him and support him, he just didn't rise to the challenge. In fact, one time a teacher said of him, "I've never seen a student so content with mediocrity." It's what every parent dreams of hearing. And it was so hard to watch him, this talented, gifted young man who had so much to offer, but to be content and settle for so much less. Now, before I move on, because I know you'll email me if I don't tell you, that there's a happy ending in the sense that he finally discovered the gifts that he had. And he went on to do great at university, and he has his dream job and is happily married. We're so proud of him. But it's so hard to watch someone when you realize they're made for so much more. And we can feel that within ourselves. And then we have the community level, or what's going on around us. Think of the two major challenges that we're facing right now. Our striving for racial justice. And it can seem so entrenched, so complex, so big that it seems like there's nothing we can do to change it. Or with climate change and eco-justice. This seems like such an enormous problem. We wonder, is there anything that little old me can do to ever make a change? It can seem like we're facing the impossible. And when we face the impossible, often we shrink back and believe that nothing can be done. We lose the courage to face the future. When we face the impossible in our personal lives, when we face the impossible with what's going on around us, what can we do? How can we find the courage to face the future? And I think it's found in this beautiful verse, verse 9. Now, this was revealed to people who were struggling. They had left their homeland, or where they were oppressed, I should say, and slaves, and moving to the land, the promised land, the place where they could live their dreams finally and finally fully flourish. But instead of arriving in the land, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and generation had died off. And the people left are wondering, are we ever going to make it? Maybe we should just give up. And to give them the courage to face the future, to keep going, this verse came to them. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, there's two powerful words in this verse, the words that have the ability to give us the courage to face the future. And those two words are, God is. God is. Faith is saying yes to God is. It's being certain that God is a life-giving and life-affirming presence. Faith gives us the certainty that God is with us wherever we go. And if we can be certain about those things, that's enough to have the courage to face the future. That was something that Jesus taught his disciples. As the disciples went out to follow his ministry and extend the healing and hope that he was offering, they came upon a young boy with epilepsy, which caused harm to himself. But at another level, it also was very difficult for the family, because in that culture at that time, if he had epilepsy, you were ostracized and excluded. So the family lived on the margins. And so the story of trying to provide healing for this boy meant not only would his well-being be taken care of, but the family could become a part of society again. The hardships would be lessened. But they weren't able to do it. It seemed so intractable, so big, so impossible that they gave up. But then Jesus came to them. He said, oh, do you know what the problem is? Is that you don't have faith, that faith that God is. And then he said to them, all you need is faith, that faith in God is the size of a mustard seed, just a little bit. And if you have that and hold on to that, you will be able to say to a mountain, move from here to there, and it will be done. For nothing will be impossible with you. When we have that faith in God is, that God is a life-giving and life-affirming presence, that God is with us wherever we go, that's just enough to make the impossible an impossible possibility. By the way, that's a phrase from Karl Barth, a famous 20th century theologian, about faith. That belief in God is enough to make the impossible an impossible possibility. When I think about this, I think of someone that I had the privilege of getting to know. Now, he started in a very difficult place. He was broken. He was broken inside. He had broken relationships. And I know that conjures up an image of somebody for whom you'd have great compassion. But to put it honestly, he was nasty and mean. He had been involved in white-collar crimes for which he was not caught. And he seemed so difficult to get close to that people had given up. It was impossible to believe that he could change. In fact, he thought it was impossible for him to believe that he could change. But then faith came into his life. And he had this trust, this certainty that God is life-giving and life-affirming, and that God is with him wherever he goes. And the fact that God would meet him where he is freed him to become more. And I remember he said this. He said, you know, it's been a long journey, but God has helped me be better a little bit every day. God helped him be a little better every day. And that reminds me of a line from Richard Rohr when he says, the best criticism of the bad is the practice of the better. And so when we face the impossible, let us have the faith to believe that God is a life-giving and life-affirming presence, and that God is with us wherever we go. And because of that, God will guide us to what is better, and that we can practice the better. And because of that, we can have the courage to face the future, and things can and will change. So I say to all of us, remember, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen.